Welcome to the ISTE ASCD podcast, supporting you in your work to transform student learning. Here's your host for today's program.
Hi, everyone. This is Anthony Rabora, the Chief Content Officer with ISTE ASCD. At a time of great uncertainty and challenge in education, can a school leader's proficiency in building trust be the key to a school's ability to thrive and grow? And how exactly can school leaders go about boosting the trust quotient in their schools? To discuss these ideas, I'm joined today by a very trustworthy source. Dr. Jen Schwanke is the Deputy Superintendent of Dublin City Schools in Ohio and a well-known and widely sought-after speaker on school leadership issues. She's also the author of a number of influential books, including her latest, Trusted, Trust Pillars, Trust Killers, and The Secret to Successful Schools. Welcome, Jen. It's great to see you again, and congrats on the book.
Oh, thank you so much, Anthony. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I know we're going to have a lot to say. We always do.
So the book is called Trusted, yep. And it's addressed to principals, school leaders. So why this topic now? What led you to write a book about trust for school leader audience?
Well, I think the key word in your question is why this book now? And there's several things that came together to make me really want to write this book. The first was I did a bunch of research for my dissertation about the history of education in America. And what I found was that there's a direct correlation between when a society is at unrest, the society turns on its schools. They feel like there's some level of control they can find there by thinking about the next generation, right? Let's make sure they get things straightened out because we've certainly messed things up, that kind of thing. And that correlation was so connected that it made me start to think about what we're dealing with now. COVID in 2020, coming out of COVID, political environments that are just very, very uncertain, financial times that are uncertain. And now certainly is a time that there's a lot of energy being put on the schools, a lot of criticism, a lot of really, really tough questions being asked of our schools, and more things put on the plate. And so then the second reason was I did some work. I read a book that Jamie Vollmer wrote called Schools Can't Do It Alone. And in that book, he talks about all the things that keeps being put on the plates of schools. And I have a graphic that shows how much has been put on schools that used to be put on communities or families. It's wild when you see the visual. And nothing has come off. And so that made me think about this heavy weight that we're putting on our leaders and our teachers. And no wonder they're feeling crushed under that weight. And then the third thing was this word trust. And it's like love. We don't really know how to define it, but we know what it feels like, right? And so I started thinking about we want teachers to trust their administrators. We want administrators to trust teachers, parents to trust the schools. We know we want that, but nobody, to my knowledge, had ever done any direct research on why it matters in terms of student outcomes. So I kind of put all three of those things together into one book to justify and determine why trust is so critical amongst a school community.
I want to get back to that student outcomes idea. But first, towards the beginning of the book, when you're talking about the historical perspective and all the things that have been laid on in schools, you write, I'm quoting here, "The trick is to accept the job of school leader as one that always has been and always will be full of challenge, emotion, and conflict." Mm-hmm. So how is that related to building trust?
Let's answer that question by looking at the alternative, which is to not accept it, to be angry about it, to blame, to deflect, to say this isn't fair. People should trust me. I have the master key. I have this name placard that says I'm the principal. We can do that, but all that's going to do is isolate us. It's going to make us look like we don't have the internal fortitude to do the job. And people will then not trust us to lead through hard times, to give grace when needed, to raise expectations when needed. They won't trust that we can do the job because we're so busy complaining. And so I think it's critical to accept, hey, it's hard. And when a society is ill, it will reflect those ills on the schools. It's going to happen. It happened in World War I. It happened in the Great Depression. It happened in World War II, the Civil Rights Movement. I mean, schools were wildly under attack during the civil rights movement. And there was a lot of reasons for that. I mean, it's not that it's not fair, but it happens. And so here we are today. We have to accept this is what happens. And so people are going to be asking a lot of very difficult questions of schools. And once we accept that, we can move towards solutions a lot more quickly than if we sit around and say, well, this is unfair.
So relatedly, you write about the importance of being both trustworthy and trust-willing.
Right.
So what do you mean by being trust-willing and why is it important?
It's funny you jumped directly to trust-willing because we all know what trustworthy is. We know, you know, we have to be honest, we have to have integrity, we have to follow through, et cetera. But I don't feel that enough people talk about educators and their willingness to trust others. This ties to that concept of collective efficacy, wherein we are so much better together. And if we're working in isolation and we don't trust our colleagues, we don't trust our leader, we don't give them a break when we see that they really honestly did the best they could with what they had in that moment, then we're not being trust-willing. And so we, again, that leads to isolation, but it also means that we feel that everybody else around us is incompetent or isn't doing the best for kids or whatever. And then you've got those internal conflicts within your school community, again, whether it's kids, parents, teachers, and we're spending all of our energy being mad at one another rather than working toward the outcomes that we want.
So you have a lot of detail about this in the book, so I hate to ask you to simplify, but what are some common ways that school leaders decrease trust in a school and in themselves? You call these trust killers. You know, what are some things you see most often in your work?
We would need a ton of time probably to go through all of them, but I think there's a lot. Some are when we don't communicate clearly, when we pick favorites, when we're not consistent with our implementation of our rules, our policies, our procedures, when we don't know our rules, policies, and procedures, when we do things like walk into a meeting and open up our laptop and do other things while everybody around us does the work. You know, we're not engaged. Those are some ways that, you know, people pick up on it and they don't like feeling that they are a second priority. And it breaks trust, you know, and I've seen people do it. Again, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be a really bad school leader today. Nobody says that. But sometimes by our behaviors and actions, we can break trust. This is just one simple story, but I worked with a principal at one point and he said, survey results came back, nobody trusts me. And I did some coaching with him and I watched him. And you know, I watched him kind of walk in and out of classrooms and not really engage. I watched him at a musical event where he leaned against the wall and scrolled on his phone. He was doing all the right actions, but there was no connection to human beings. And nobody's going to trust someone who's a robot walking around with a tie on or a blazer on, right? It's much deeper than that. We have to make sure that we're connecting and giving people a reason to trust us.
Right. So conversely, I want to ask you, what are the most effective ways or approaches principals can build trust? And again, there's a lot of detail on these trust pillars in the book, and I encourage listeners to read it. But if there's an area or two that you would highlight where principals could really focus on and make a big impact, what might that be?
Well, one of them, and I'm going to criticize myself a little bit. I think when I was first a principal, I didn't manage my time well. And what I mean by that is this. I always felt like the list was so long, the things I had to do. And so I don't think I was engaged with people all the time in the right ways. So here's an example. I would go to a team meeting maybe, and I would, you know, I'd have that voice in my ear, your emails are building up, your email. So I'd open up my laptop and I would be simultaneously responding to emails and being part of the meeting. Well, of course I wasn't, Anthony. I was not at all. Multitasking is a myth for administrators. I felt I was very good at multitasking. Now I have found I am not good at it at all. No one is. So if I'm going to engage, I need to engage. If I'm going to check my email, I need to check my email. What I was doing is making everything harder for myself because I wasn't doing anything well while I was sitting there thinking I was managing all the juggling acts beautifully. So that's one, is to engage. Another one is to be consistent. People want fair implementation, consistent implementation of the things that we say that we're going to do. You know, if we've set norms for our school, everybody has to meet those norms. And if they don't, we need to have a difficult conversation. That's another example that's in the book. You know, we've got to say the hard things with love and compassion and grace. We have to be the ones that will say what nobody else wants to say if it lifts the tide of all the boats.
So I thought this was really interesting. In the section of the book on building trust with teachers, you have sections on building trust with teachers, building trust with parents, and with students. In the part with teachers, you talk about the importance of slowing down.
Yes.
Can you expand on that a bit?
Well, I'll tell one quick, I learned this in a moment. I was visiting a school and, you know, the walkie-talkie goes off and there's an emergency in room 137. We need the principal. There's a student with intense behaviors. And I'm telling you, Anthony, he put his walkie on his belt loop and he got his keys and he starts strolling. And I'm like, we have to go. And he said, Jen, it is not going to matter if I get there 7 seconds faster. What is going to matter is if I walk in this room and I am the presence of calm and I help in that way. If I go roaring in there and slam the door open and, you know, I'm here, the hero with my super cape is here. No, slow down. So that is an example of physical slowing down. Another example of slowing down, and I have to discipline myself to do this all the time, is there are very, very few emergencies in education. We have been led to believe, maybe even brainwashed to believe, that everything in education is a now. We have to respond now. When I can discipline myself to say, you know what, I'm actually going to wait 24 hours on this, about three things happen. One is my mind is more clear. Number two is I'm not making decisions with emotion. And number three, I'm communicating to the recipient of my response that I don't think this is worth lighting a fire about. It's okay. We'll get to it. We'll solve the problem. And so to slow down our responses pays off in so many ways at the other end of it.
So talk a little bit about the correlations between building trust as a school leader and student outcomes. There's some really interesting research on this, which I thought was fascinating.
Right. Well, when I wrote this book, working with my amazing acquisitions editor, Susan Hills, she said, you know, what about student outcomes? And so I thought, let me look into this. And I honestly didn't know that I would find research. And I did. A lot of really smart people have done research to prove that trust is a thing that matters. And over and over and over, it was found that when teachers trust their principal, student outcomes rise. When students trust their teachers, student outcomes rise. When communities trust their schools, student outcomes rise. So in terms of achievement on a standardized test, that's one way to look at it if you talk about student outcomes, but also school culture. If people walk in and they know that for the most part, everybody within the walls of that school are on my side, that makes me think differently about how I'm going to engage in my school culture, how I'm going to be part of the community, and the outcomes that I'm going to see for myself. And, you know, we know this. We use all these words all the time, ad nauseum, build relationships, connect with kids, engage. I've used that word over and over in this already in this recording. All of that really is rooted in trust. We don't connect with people that we don't trust. We do connect with people who we believe are there to help us. And all of those ingredients in the soup do lead to better student outcomes.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to think about.
Yeah,
and those
isn't
research
it?
Findings I mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of your book, you say a school leader's self-trust is closely connected to the culture of the school they lead.
Right.
Why is self-trust so important for leaders to understand?
This was my favorite chapter to write, I got to tell you.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so much, because I am lucky enough to work with a lot of principals. I do some executive coaching, but I also do a lot of PD work with groups of principals around the country and in Canada. And if I had a dime for everybody who says, you know, I like this work, but, and then they tell me why they think they're not good at it. And I will say to people, listen to that. You have done, you know, 19 things right this week, and you're mad about, or you're upset, or you're beating yourself up about the one thing that you maybe could have done differently. I think we are raised as educators and trained as principals with that mindset of, well, we can always get better. And of course that's true. I'm not saying it's not, but when you walk around with that mindset, you're looking for reasons that you don't, that you didn't do something right, or that you don't really deserve this job, that imposter syndrome sort of thing. So I think there's a lot of ways we can build trust. It's not just looking in the mirror and saying, I am a good principal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things like making sure that you're sharing leadership with other people in your building, not just your favorite people, all the people, making sure that there is a delegation of responsibilities so that other people feel stronger as leaders, so that there's that accountability that we're all in this together. I've been talking a lot recently, just wrote about this in my newsletter, about micro committees. This is a way you can get people together to solve an urgent problem with agility. Get people together, say, what's our problem? What's our solution? Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? That might seem counterintuitive, Anthony, because I'm saying leaders should build self-trust by having other people help them. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. We as the principal are not the be-all, end-all of everything that happens in our building. Ties back to collective efficacy. If everybody feels like they have a voice and a part in what goes well and what goes wrong, then nobody's out there standing on the edge of a cliff by themselves thinking, well, I'm really kind of bad at this. You know, we have to have that self-trust and beyond to manage the pressures and the challenges that come with our leadership.
That's a great reminder.
Yeah.
Dr. Jen Chwanky, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. It's great as always to see you and talk with you. And thanks for putting this book out into the world. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to learn more about Jen Chwanky's book, Trusted, Trust Pillars, Trust Killers, and the Secret to Successful Schools. Visit www.ascd.org/books.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.